Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are here to cover the latest episode of The Walking Dead, which was an insane episode. The fair finally began. Our characters are reunited for a very short time. The tug of war for Lydia comes to a head, pun intended, and we say goodbye to so many of our favorite characters. We've got our favorite segment, we've got news and gossip, we've got predictions, we've got a lot to talk about. Do not move a muscle.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? I know that I seem excited, but I am in mourning right now. I have no idea how to process this entire episode. I am joined by two lovely ladies tonight, Krista Flenge, Angel Taylor. Thank you guys for being here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, you guys, I'm so glad that you're here to support me. I'm glad we're here to support each other through this moment. First off, I have to give everybody in the chat a shout out because some of you are in the chat from the East Coast right now. You guys are watching. Everybody wants to talk about this episode, including us. Mm-hmm. I, like I said, do not know how to process this episode. You guys, what were your initial thoughts on this episode?
I had a box of tissue. I was so emotional. I was going through a roller coaster with my emotions. It was Carol's face as they were reuniting. It was everyone's emotions and them coming together and then Ezekiel's speech, which I know you're not that crazy about. And yeah, the ultimate end.
Yeah, it was just, it was emotionally devastating, the whole thing. And I also wasn't expecting it to be such a big episode, so I think it caught me off guard, which made it even better. Because technically, this isn't the season finale. It's like, so that's what you're expecting for a season finale, so they did really good with that.
Agreed. I think this is one of the best Walking Dead episodes ever in history. Yeah. Just because of the sheer fact that obviously what we saw, the performances alone were amazing. And then like you said, Krista, we all were not expecting this to happen in this episode. I mean, I was caught completely off guard to have all of these characters die. And yes, there were some, not, I don't want to say insignificant characters, but as many as there were insignificant characters that lost their lives tonight, there were that many that were significant to us that did lose their lives. And it's shook in us.
Yeah, shook.
I didn't realize I care so much for Enid. I was so, like, I was shocked. Mm-hmm. Like, it was someone I knew that got taken away from me. Like, when I saw Enid, my mouth would not close.
Yeah, I think I forgot how long she's actually been around.
Right.
Yeah.
You forget and how much
she's
her character's...
She's a ride or die.
Yeah, how much her character's grown. We saw her with Carl from the beginning, and then now she's, like, training to be a doctor. We've, like, seen it all, and it was... that one hurt.
I think what I loved about it is that the people that they... that were killed tonight, they showcase in a really nice way throughout the episode.
They did.
And I want to talk about that. Yes. I want to start from the beginning, you guys. So the episode in itself starts off in a very poetic, kind of calm scenario, scenery, if you will.
Hence the name of the show.
I know, The Calm Before, which I loved. I love the ironicness of it. We see this this couple, they're celebrating their anniversary. They come across Hilltop, and that's where they make their home. We see the woman who, you know, makes the H thing for her husband, boyfriend. I think they're...
Looks like they're pretty serious.
Yeah, they're pretty serious together. And we see them headed to the fair. And then it jumps to the blonde woman, who is nameless. She's killed, and Alpha is scalping her. Right. So right from the beginning, this episode just shoots off with a bang.
Yes.
What did you guys think of this?
It was a perfect way to lead into what we were getting, but I thought, okay, that'd be it. They're going to snatch people off the road. I'm like, this is the direction we're going in. Okay. And then it just got even, it was a perfect start, but it also threw me off.
Oh,
I thought that was going to be what was happening.
Yeah.
I totally thought that was the direction. I agree with you. I thought it was just going to be a highway thing where we captured them as they're going to the fair. And I thought it was going to be like a standoff between the Whisperers and the Highwaymen.
Mm.
And yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I'm on the same page as you guys. When they first showed the scene with Alpha and the woman with the blonde hair and what happened, it didn't occur to me that that was outside of the fair. I thought that was inside of the fair, because we saw last time, in last episode's ending, that we see the Whisperers see other people going into the fair.
Yeah.
So I thought that this blonde woman's already in the fair, like this whole slaughter already happened. What actually happened, I could not have guessed at all.
Which that also worked out so perfectly for Alpha, because if she had wandered across anyone else and scalped them, someone more recognizable, mm-hmm. she wouldn't have been able to get away with that.
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah.
why I was like the right. perfect person to find. It's like she almost knew that that person was someone we didn't really know yeah. at this point. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And then how she played into like maybe taking on the personality of that woman because mm-hmm. she's she like kind of toying with Ezekiel, like, can you believe Michonne came yeah. back?
And she's so smart.
I was like, oh my gosh, she is like criminal mind. She yeah. is crazy.
Yeah. She's devious.
Speaking of Ezekiel, so the fair finally begins. We've been hinting at this fair since the beginning of the season, and we're finally here. Ezekiel has this amazing speech. Angel, I do want you to talk about that because he is one of your favorite characters. It was a very motivational speech. It was a very nice way to kind of bring all of these people together. And what he says is, you know, they've grown and they've fought their way back to each other, and they're uniting for a common good, essentially. And I liked the speech. I just don't like Ezekiel as a character.
Oh, come on.
I know.
I couldn't get past the whole stuffed tiger thing he had.
It was a little weird, right?
I was like, please stop it. Like, let's get past the tiger.
Yeah.
He's such a fictional character to me.
But I did love the speech in and of itself because it was putting us in this, we've been looking forward to this for so long, and it's something that they've all worked for, and it's finally here.
Yeah.
So we're just excited. Ezekiel and Carol are talking about going after Magna's group, at least Carol is, and that's short-lived because then here comes Daryl, Henry, Michonne, and Lydia right through the gate.
I was so happy.
Right?
That's what they wanted us to feel.
Yeah.
One last
time.
Like
they came home.
Yeah. This reunited of the reunion of the characters. We always get antsy when they're separated because anything can happen and they don't have a form of communication, which was addressed also in this episode. We'll talk about it. But when they finally come together, you feel this sense of like a weight is lifted off your shoulders because now you're like, you're together, you're strong, we can do this, we can conquer anything as long as we're together.
Mm-hmm. Especially after that speech.
Yes, exactly.
Because even Michonne bought into it.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
Which I also, and Dan Lawrence brought this up in the chat. He loved how they, Ezekiel brought up Rick and Carl.
Yes.
Which I did like that too, because it was, you know, also their dream and it's coming to fruition. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Speaking of Rick and Carl, we have this moment between Judith and Carol. And I forgot that Carol hasn't seen Judith since she was so tiny. And that moment, I think this is another moment that I teared up in, when she's like, do you remember me? And she's, I've been drawing pictures of you since I was little. I was like, shut up.
Your hair got longer.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, just like I said, the performances of tonight were insane. So we've got this reunited of characters and everybody's happy. And Michonne, once again, is like, we have to talk. It's down to business. So It was nice to kind of see Michonne interact with these characters that she hasn't seen in a while also, because there is this bad blood between them for everything that has happened. And I don't necessarily blame them for having a little bit of hesitation with Michonne because everything that we've seen and how she kind of disassociated herself with all the other communities.
Right.
But now there's a bigger threat out there. This is what we have to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she was like, let's get down to business.
Me too.
What I wasn't expecting was the people who were representing the community. So we've got their leadership meeting, and we see Rachel from Oceanside. Did you guys know who she was?
No.
Right?
Barely. Yeah. No. Like what?
Where's the other
girl? I know who you're talking about,
right.
But who I thought was in charge of Oceanside.
That's what I
thought. So I don't know if she didn't come or, yeah. But again, that's the first time we addressed Oceanside.
Right.
So we still don't know what's going on with them. So maybe there's something that happened that we haven't, you know, been led on to yet, but
they haven't been very prevalent on any of these episodes.
So I'm hoping we get a storyline from them soon. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if we will.
I don't think we will, which is kind of, what have they been up to?
I know. I mean, I kind of liked Rachel in this scene, pretty much because she was just like Michonne. She was like, let's get down to business. This is what we have to talk about. This is what we have to do. And, you know, Father Gabe says that Alexandria is going to grant asylum to Lydia. And as soon as she comes through the gate, Tara is another one that is just down to business. She said, why did you bring her? Exactly.
What are you doing?
And if you think about it, it was complete foreshadowing to the end of the episode because Tara was the one who had the biggest problem with Lydia being there. And she says it in the leadership meeting. She says, you know, if the skinhead group, that's what they call them, are going to retaliate. It's going to be against Hilltop. And Tara is now the leader of Hilltop, so she has to look out for her people.
Yeah.
What do you guys... how did you feel about that?
I already knew, like, I saw this coming, which is why I called it the Red Fair. Mm. And there were so many people from Hilltop there. It was foreshadowing even with the Hilltop wooden coin pieces.
Yes.
So yeah. That was already telling a story without telling a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
What I loved is that Michonne kind of uses her own personal life in this, and she once again talks about Rick and says, you know, when I showed up to the prison, they didn't have to give me a chance either. Right. And they did, and that was the case for a lot of these people. And that's, I think, what changes Tara's mind. But now they realize that they have to go back to Hilltop to protect it, and that's where, once again, the separation of characters comes into play.
Yeah.
And I want to know your thoughts on how the groups were divided. How did you guys feel about these people going there and these people going there? Do you think that that was a smart choice?
It's like, is it ever smart to split up in these certain situations?
It never has been.
No, but it's, I get their process. They thought the threat was at Hilltop.
Yeah.
So they were like, that's where we all need to go. And but then even the group that we had originally, when that set out with like Michonne and all of them, and half of them went on to Hilltop, and the other half went to look for the group that was missing. I was like, just you guys stay together maybe. But it wouldn't have helped in this circumstance because the threat was at
the fair,
yeah.
So it's like, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, would it have made a difference if they were at the fair? Because we didn't technically see how they got taken, when, or exactly what part of the fair had happened.
I don't think so, because I feel like the Whisperers were a step ahead of them.
They were.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just, I don't think it was, in this circumstance, it wouldn't have helped.
Yeah.
No matter what, I don't think.
I'm going to go back to what you were saying. I think Michonne got her cue from Judith when she was saying, like, well, you changed. Mm-hmm. And so that's where Michonne got that idea that, like, we need to be more about forgiving and mercy. Otherwise, we won't be a group. Like, nobody is innocent, so to speak. In this, I mean, everyone has done dirt, killed someone, and been forgiven for whatever transgressions they did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I wanted to touch on that, how I think she took a cue from her own daughter, and I'm glad that Judith is there to be her voice of reason.
I love that
taking Rick's place.
I love that you brought that up, because it is because of Judith that Michonne did have this change of heart. We saw that 2 episodes ago. I also love that they brought the charter back, too, because they made this whole episode about getting the charter, and then they sign it. How did you guys feel about Michonne letting Father Gabe sign it for Alexandria?
I feel like it was appropriate.
Really?
I think it kind of, I mean, I've really used to dislike Gabe. I did. I don't know. And he's starting to grow on me. I don't know what it is.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, just over the episodes. I mean, his eyes still freak me out, but he can't help that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was just kind of a nice full circle for him. And quick pause. Our chat's so great. They said the girl, Rachel, that represents Oceanside, Cynthia isn't there because she's in that new Pretty Little Liars spinoff.
Oh,
so she's filming something else. But Rachel is the little girl that flips off Tara, the
6-year-old. That's right. Yes.
So she is now grown up.
Yeah. Oh.
So that was cute.
That's
amazing.
Thank
you, chat.
You guys are always keeping us on point. Thank you, guys. What I loved about the signing of the charter was when Ezekiel says, you know, take that, John Hancock. Because essentially, if you think about it, this is the start of a new civilization, and they're starting it. Could you imagine the pressure?
Being the forefathers.
Yeah.
Hopefully this goes well.
Of the apocalypse.
That's crazy.
Forefathers of the apocalypse. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And then we find out, I'm going to disagree with you, Krista. I don't think that...
You don't like it.
No, I don't think that Father Gabe should have signed for Alexandria in place.
We know you
Who
are
would
not
you
a
have
fan.
Had signed
no,
it?
No, but I mean, Michonne should have signed it. She's still the leader of Alexandria. She'd made the hard decisions to put Alexandria first, including disassociating herself with other communities, to put herself and her community first.
Do you
first.
Think that's why she, or the reason maybe she didn't sign it, is because she's still not fully on, she's on board, but she's still
she still feels guilty
with it.
About it, of course.
So and I feel like that's why she was like, someone else take the pressure.
Yeah, I get that. I still think,
It would have been an ode to Rick, too, though.
That's what I was saying. I feel it makes me feel bad, because whoever sees this in the future, about this is where your civilization started, her name's not going to be on there. She was there from the beginning.
They both could have signed it / Michonne.
Well, she wasn't always a part of that school of thought. So her not signing it was kind of appropriate for me because you were not always on board with this.
Yeah, exactly.
So Father Gabe, he's been talking this since day one.
Okay.
Like, he's all about bringing people together. So, yeah, I think that was appropriate, and he's been very prominent in the meetings they've had. So, yeah, let him sign.
Maybe we'll all get a second page, and they can just address the entire community as a whole.
No, you ladies win. Okay, Father Gabe can sign it. That's okay. What I liked about this episode also was we see... And once again, just foreshadowing and them getting us connected to these characters who weren't going to make it in the end. But Henry and Lydia really have a connection in this episode more than they have in other episodes. And we see it when they're going through the fair and they're talking. And what I loved about it is that we saw every aspect of the fair. You know, Enid was giving like CPR classes. Earl was doing like a blacksmith class. There's a lot going on. There's a dunk tank that Judith was playing
with. Caramel apples.
I mean.
I was like, you are stretching that.
Yeah.
In the apocalypse, how are we like doing candy apples?
Yeah,
at this point in life.
What I loved about it is that the episode in and of itself is called The Calm Before, and they really encompass that with these little storylines of, you know, Lydia and Henry going around to the fair and talking about that. And then we see, you know, Alden, Enid, and Luke talking about, you know, their pre-performance before the movie. Like, there's all these little scenes.
And they foreshadow on these particular people.
Yes.
Yeah. So that we can fall in love with them all over again.
Which was really great storytelling, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Alden and Enid become official in this episode, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up for the
writers. It's very
writers.
Messed up because she specifically said, so that I can spend the rest of my life with you.
Yes.
Like, why did you do that to us? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was messed up, but once again, it's brilliant writing because it literally pulls on our heartstrings because, like you said, you didn't realize how attached you were to Enid until she's gone, and now it's like... You see these little scenes with her, and she was building a life with somebody. I mean, after Carl and everything that she's been through with her parents and the whole JSS.
Yeah.
And, like, she's been through a lot to be taken down like this, and I don't want to get too much into it, but it's really sad, you guys.
That's how I felt when Glenn went away.
Yeah.
Like, well, the first time I thought he was dead, like, at the trash can.
Oh, they really
and then
played
the
with
second
us
time.
With that.
Yeah. I was like, why are you messing with Glenn
also,
right now?
Also, chat remind... I forgot. Gabriel is the head of council, so that is...
No,
yeah.
I know
but that's
that,
what their defense is, so.
Yeah, I know that he's the head of council, you guys, but I still feel like we
yes,
should
no,
have
so we do it. Know that. We just were saying... For opinion-wise. And then also, if I don't know if you want to touch on it, but people in the chat are asking, so did that speech between Connie mean that she had a baby at one point?
I was going to say that was literally my next topic, because not only do we see all of these other characters being touched on, but we see Connie and her sister Kelly come together. I didn't know that they were sisters. Did I miss that?
I knew they were really close. Yeah, and she called her sister, but I didn't know if it was like a, you know, just in this... life.
Like we're friends that we're so close that we're like sisters.
But yeah,
or
it was pretty obvious today that they're like blood
she's
sisters.
She's been crying about, I need to go get my
sister.
I need to find my sister. And like in all of the other episodes.
I just thought they kept saying because they were a family.
Family
the group
was
a family that they just called each other brother and sister. I didn't actually think they were blood related.
I had
related.
Assumed it was that, but then like she got real. She's been real sensitive about
it.
So I'm like, they must be.
But that whole baby conversation was it's a great point, and I'm glad they brought it up in the chat because... We loved Connie, especially after her trip with Daryl, if you will.
I'm so glad she's still with us.
That was going to be my next thought, was that all of these foreshadowings, we're glad that they didn't take away
her. So hers has to be relevant coming up, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. I mean, it was a pretty big thing for her to say, I had a baby, and that's why I ran off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we jump into our next topic, let me just address the Walking Dead fans. We love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being on a live chat, jumping in the conversation, and allowing us to be the ESPN of TV talk. We need your help to continue to grow. So if you are in the live chat, subscribe, hit the red subscribe button, give us a thumbs up. If you're listening on iTunes, our podcast, give us 5 stars. No other stars matter except for 5.
Yes.
That part. But no matter where you are, please jump into the conversation. Tell your friends about it. We're here every week, Monday nights. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And tell your friends. Come on. Jump into the conversation.
Exactly. Like Angel said, you guys, we do the show for you. And we see the love in the chat tonight. I mean,
it's on fire.
Yeah,
there's so many of you in there right now.
That's insane, you guys.
Crazy.
We love you guys. I mean, we wouldn't do the show without you, and we couldn't do the show without you. And we love talking to you about it, clearly.
Yeah.
So do you want to give some shout-outs very quickly, Krista?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I know, there's so many
of you.
Don't feel bad if we leave you out.
Yes. JB, we've got Charmed Original, which you're in here a lot. I recognize your name. Steven Romanchik, Simone Serna, Dan Lawrence. I shouted you out before. You've been keeping us
entertained.
Right? Yes. Simone Serna, Alonzo Wilkins, so many. Trell.
Alonzo.
Thank you guys. Yes. We're very appreciative. And you guys are, yeah, keeping us informed and keeping us correct.
Keep
and
the fact checking.
Yes, and fact
Thank
checking.
Thank you for fact checking.
Yes, agreed. And keep the chat going, you guys. We still have a whole 20 minutes to talk.
Yes.
So let's get back to the episode very quickly.
Right.
So like I said, we have another separation of characters because they want to go to the hilltop to kind of figure out, to kind of be a step ahead of what's going to happen, what they think is going to happen with the Whisperers. And what I loved about them leaving was that it gave us this sense of kind of, I don't want to say false pretense, but we were so concerned with them that we weren't concerned with what
everybody
was going
else.
On. Exactly. And the writers were just so smart in that way to kind
sneaky.
Of mislead us.
They were sneaky.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen. And what I loved is that the moment that they're leaving, we see these little scenes with everybody. And, you know, there's Magna and Miko, who are apparently a couple.
Oh, yeah, they better be.
Didn't
that
even know
kid.
That.
Yeah, that kind
of
kid.
I was like, okay, lesbian love story out of nowhere. What was that?
That wasn't just a bye friend.
I mean, yeah, that was like a, yeah.
I caught that connection.
Did you?
I thought they were a thing.
Really?
Yeah, in a few episodes back, like when they first got, like when they were first introduced, I caught on with the sisterhood connection, and then I caught on with that. Like, oh, okay, they're a thing.
I was only thrown off because Magna always talked about that guy that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, in the tie-dye shirt. I can't remember.
Yeah, because they're such a close family, and when you lose, it's like it hurts her,
So I thought that she was together with him.
Yeah.
Not saying that she can't be with both, but I'm just saying, I thought I was just caught off guard. But I'm glad they're together, and I'm glad we didn't lose one of those either.
Yeah.
We see the highwaymen, and they're patrolling the area. They're killing walkers, and they come across Daryl's group after they've left. And they find the camp that we saw in the beginning. And that, once again, also caught me off guard, because I didn't think that we were going to revisit that at all.
No, I didn't think so either.
I was like, why are we back here? It was a very strange kind of...
Yeah, maybe it'll help in the next episode when they're trying to figure out how it all went down to know that group was taken first, and that's how they got in. And
And then we see Miko, she's going to go with Carol, Daryl, and Michonne. And then they get surrounded by all these walkers. And they, like, wipe them out, you guys.
That was insane.
Yeah.
All of those bodies on the floor, and then they're left standing in the dark.
They make a good team.
That
I wrote that down. Because I was like, they could literally just clear the whole world of all the walkers in, like, 2 days if they really wanted to.
Because they were
pretty powerful
That's
as a group.
So much effort, though. Like, even in other episodes, I'm like, how are you guys having the stamina to just...
Yes.
Woo, 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 woo. Like, every single move is you slaughtering another one. It's, like, so intentional, every move.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it must take a lot of stamina and a lot of energy to kill all of those things. So when the Whisperers come out of nowhere, or come out of the dark,
have
if you
them
will.
Surrounded, yeah.
Exactly. There was that, once again, that moment where, like, oh, crap. Like, what are we going to do now? And they have a gun. They didn't have guns before.
No, they must have got that from Hilltop.
So now they have this gun, and then that's how they surround them. And Beta's back. And Beta makes his appearance, and Gerald's face is like,
oh my God.
Wait,
no,
I...
my face when I saw Beta. I was scared as. I was crazy.
You know, Daryl was like, I should have double checked.
Yeah. And he tells Daryl, he says, you know what? If you just got rid of Lydia, then no one else would have had to die. And
I agree. I agree. I know you love Lydia. I know you love Lydia. However, I am just like...
Oh, I don't love Lydia by any means, but I just...
As little deaths as possible. Like, if we could just sacrifice Lydia.
Yeah.
So all these other people did not have to die.
Yeah.
They totally did not have to die.
I don't think it's about loving Lydia. I think it's about standing by your principles and your morals. About, you know, we can't just let this one person go because she doesn't want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be in that life. So let her go. And I... commend Daryl for sticking up, and commend the whole group really for sticking up for somebody as, I don't want to say insignificant because that's a harsh word, but somebody so as little as Lydia. It's one person,
no,
like
I
you
agree.
Said.
Little old Lydia.
Also, it's as we see, they don't take Lydia back when they have the opportunity to.
Right.
So it doesn't even matter. Like, which I know that's why this all happened in the first place, but Mama's got problems.
Mama's got issues.
Control issues.
Yeah. Thank you.
All about the power play.
She is something else.
I agree with you. And we're going to talk more about her in a second. But we see what happens when the group leaves. What I love is that they go back to the fair and we see what's going on there. And Rosita and Eugene have this moment of just talking about, you know, what happened and kind of resolving that issue. And I really love this moment because we don't get enough of these characters. I mean, there's so many characters, like we said, I guess a couple of episodes. And it's hard to keep track of all of them and give them enough screen time. But when they do, they have like these really nice moments. And I like the moment of Rosita and Eugene where she's like just thanking him for everything that he's done for her and Father Gabe and the baby and all this stuff. And we see that Eugene, once again, is so smart. He traded parts for a ham radio, and he's trying to put it together so that the communities can keep in touch with each other. And we've talked about this. We talked about how hard it must be for the communities to be so disconnected.
Snail mail? What do you do?
Right. So I'm hoping that this radio works, especially now after this whole...
The fact that they keep touching on it, which I'll save it for predictions, but I think the radio is going to be significant for sure.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also see this disconnect between Henry and Lydia. I mean, they just became a thing, you guys. And
this reminded me of being in high school.
Thank you.
Where you hear this rumor like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing me like that. Like, you immediately believe it. And then you kind of, well, she didn't even go towards him. She just kind of like wandered off in her own little space. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, where's this going? Because I thought it was going to be a thing, but when Henry came back around, you know, I guess it just takes...
Yeah, and also, Lydia, he sacrificed his life to come after you.
I think we know who he likes.
You're
so ungrateful.
You know.
But, I mean, we have to, like, give some kind of crap to Rodney and Gage, because, like...
The worst.
They were planning some stuff, and they've been planning some stuff with Henry, and they've always been trying to mess with him.
Yeah.
And I'm...
I think they're jealous little boys.
They are. They are jealous little boys. I mean, clearly, they got their comeuppance.
But they couldn't go to high school, so let them have
their
drama.
They're doing the drama now.
Yeah. Let them have it.
Was anybody surprised that the woman in the dress was Alpha? Because I was.
She was so pretty.
When you first saw her, I was like, wait, are we doing a flashback?
It took me a second, and then I realized, oh, she scalped that girl.
Her head.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew it was Alpha immediately because her eyes are always, like, squint. Like, she's always
got a creepy face.
Yeah, she just looks so evil.
See, I thought it was, like, one of those, like, Trojan horse things where she was the mother because she sees the baby, and that's what gives it away. Tammy Rose has the baby. Mm. And I thought it was they planned one of the whisperers in there, and I thought it was the woman who had lost the baby, and that's why she was looking at the baby until she started talking to Ezekiel, and then I was like, wait, hold up.
You recognize that
voice. Yes, the voice, and she has this creepy voice.
I saw her
voice.
Face, but it took, at first...
She was still whispering.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh.
But I mean, that's a commend to the makeup team and the stylist, because
she looked good.
Threw me off. I was like, because they make her look crazy.
She did look good,
and just this conversation that she has with Ezekiel, and she introduces herself as Deborah, and you know, she says things like, I was looking forward to meeting Carol. Angel, you alluded to this earlier, and how it's going to be a hard winter. She's crazy
like
insane. She's crazy.
Yeah.
I think in that moment she already had this plan of who was going to be taken and what was going to happen. Do you agree?
Yeah,
I think when she went in there and she was observing, I think that's when she was
picking
out her targets.
Yes.
But I'm just like, when did you have time to grab these people?
Yeah. But so do you guys think it would have changed at all if Lydia would have just went with her? Or she still would have done what she was going to do because they took her in the first place?
She still would have done.
You think so?
Yeah. I think she still would have done. Yeah. Because she's crazy. And she has a control thing. Because
then she would have been like, this is what you get for taking her. Now you know the boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she gave them plenty of warning.
Yeah.
Plenty. Beta gave them warning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do now?
Right.
When you're that evil.
So the movie starts. Lydia's sitting by herself. And then we have this insane moment between her, Alpha, because she sits next to Lydia in the movie. It was like that creepy, like, horror movie thing that happens when you're like sitting there and everything's fine and somebody comes next to you and you're like, oh my god, you're not dead, or something. You know what I mean? That's how I felt
when you lie to your mom and say you're going somewhere,
and you're like, no.
And your mom creeps up behind you while you're sitting next to this hot guy in the movie, and she's like, hi honey,
and you're like, no.
Oh
yeah. And then they kind of just leave us there, because then they show the next day Which they were jumping back and forth between timelines, which is also a little confusing to me.
It was very
confusing.
Because
they kept them
right?
all night.
Yeah.
And then, while they were doing that.
Right, which I was confused about because I was like, so is what's going on at the fair still happening? But I wasn't following the timelines exactly. Yeah. I wonder if you guys in the chat had issues
it's
following
it's because they wanted
too.
To set the boundaries up so Michonne right. and then didn't interrupt anything.
Exactly. And we see that Alpha obviously singles out Daryl because he was really the cause of all of this.
Mm.
Kind of like Lydia's savior,
yes.
if you will.
Yeah.
And she shows him this huge horde. And this just goes to show how powerful these people are.
My people are walking amongst them.
What? They're steering them. And the next time
yes.
you cross into our lands, I'm going to make my horde cross into yours.
I'm like, let's not mess it with her. Let's go.
Like, that's insane. She's powerful. She's crazy, but she's powerful.
At that moment, she could be like, so give me my daughter back. And I'd be like, have her.
Right. And then this is when they really start balancing between the two. And I'm sorry if I'm rushing, guys. We are limited on time. But then we see what happens with Lydia and Alpha outside of the movie. And Lydia's literally telling her, I want to stay. And Alpha's saying, you know, you were never strong enough to be one of us. And that really affects Lydia. But at the same time, I think that she realized she had that light bulb go off that said, you really just were brainwashing me my entire mm-hmm. life. And you never cared about me. For you to sit here and say something like that, you're just trying to hurt me. And a mother doesn't do that.
Agreed.
You should want me to have this life. You should want me to have a choice.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad Lydia stands up for herself and says, you know, I'm giving you a choice to go like you didn't for me.
Boom.
She
yes.
should have yelled and got her at murder.
During that scene, though, like, were you getting the vibes that Alpha was, like, into women because she was, like, so close in her space? I thought she was going to proceed with the kiss or something.
With her daughter?
Like, yeah.
Ooh, that would have been weird.
She's sick.
I mean, yes, she's sick, but I think she's got this whole thing going on with Beta.
There's something going on. There's a story we don't know about there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they will flush it out later, but
oh,
she
yeah.
was just, like, cringeworthy close. To her, like, in her space, in her face.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was evil.
I guess she was doing that whole threatening thing, but, I mean, it was just a little bit too touchy.
Yeah.
It was very touchy.
I don't think she's into girls, but I do think that she definitely has a thing with Beta. And I
yeah,
want to say that because
Beta has a attachment to Lydia, too.
Yeah. He has an attachment to both of them.
Ooh.
Is he... the dad and we got the wrong story?
No.
Maybe
I
predictions,
think that, I don't
but
know.
There's
maybe.
Something, I don't know what it is, but Beta wants Lydia back.
That would
just
be
as
so
bad
juicy.
As Alpha does.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need
juicy.
To know more about Beta. But
mm-hmm.
speaking of Beta, we see this whole scene between her and Beta. And I think when Alpha was crying in that scene, I think it was because she had to say in her mind goodbye to her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as crazy as she is, we have to acknowledge that she is a mother. And she might be a bad mother, but she's still a mother.
Yeah.
And as much as she brainwashed her daughter, she did it to keep her close, to keep her with her. So for her daughter to say, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore.
Right.
That obviously affected her. And
oh, yeah.
then we see this moment where one of her followers sees her crying.
Showed weakness.
Yeah. And she says it to Lydia. She says, you know, I was trying to make you strong. You can't be weak. It's all about the strong and weak thing. So
you're
were you surprised?
Like us.
Right. So were you surprised when she killed him?
No, because she showed weakness and he saw and she's like, I'm strong. Get over here.
Yeah. But I also think it was the fact that she's worried that he might go back and say, hey, I
oh,
saw
probably.
Alpha crying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
She showed weakness and she wants no one to know that. That's why she sent Alpha away, too. She's
yeah.
like, get out here.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Beta, yeah.
I think Lydia is definitely her soft spot and
mm-hmm.
she's been exposed. Lydia betrayed her in some sense, so... Mm-hmm. You know, the tears were gonna come.
Yeah. Were you surprised when Alpha let Daryl's group go so easily?
I knew there was something to it.
Did you? Because I was a little like, why did you just let them go? That was
she
weird.
She kept bringing up the border, and I was like, she did some stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And
she
did you
said,
also notice?
You'll see.
Yeah, during
you'll
the cartoon,
know.
They ripped a head off one of the guy's heads.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
notice that.
And I was like, oh, that was some foreshadowing, like,
that
anybody's
movie was
business.
Weird.
Yeah.
In what?
In the cartoon they were watching, like one of the cartoons
oh.
got his head ripped, like pulled off, his little face thing. And
foreshadowing,
I was like,
little things.
Whoa.
Good
yeah,
job on
catch
good
that.
Job catching that, Krista.
I was on Twitter
and
people were
that.
Doing that, yeah. I was like, what?
So yeah, so that group just gets let go and they go toward the border and then we see they find Sadiq, who's tied up and he can't even speak.
Incredible acting from him in this
oh,
episode.
Oh, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. And we're not even at the peak of his
mm-hmm.
scene yet. And I want to build this up, you guys, because it was built up for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
We see them walking up this hill, and we see these, like, spikes, these things off in the
these
distance.
Sticks.
We didn't know what these were. And the closer we get, the more we realize that these are all lined up. And before I even knew what they were, I counted them because I was like, I wonder how why there's 10 of them. And I was like, I wonder why there's 10 of them. And we finally see that they have heads on them.
And it's the back of the head.
Wait a minute. So you're like, can I just throw in a Game of Thrones reference here?
Oh, completely. Because you love doing
this
that.
This is literally it was such a Game of Thrones moment for me.
It was. No, it really was.
And I mean, it kind of was the Red Fair without being the Red Fair.
Yeah.
Yes. It was. And then we see the close-ups on the faces.
One by one.
One by one. And we see that it's the two highwaymen. It's,
you know, they say the best for last.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Because
of course.
We all were talking so much crap about Henry, and I felt terrible when I saw his face on the stick. And it was mainly because of Carol.
Yes.
Because I love Carol so much. I hate to see her hurt and lose another child again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's two highwaymen, DJ, who's a former savior, Frankie, who's from the hilltop, Tammy Rose, which is kind of sad. I mean, even though she was getting nerves, her husband just lost his son and now his wife.
Yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. And then we see Addie, and then we see Rodney, and then we see Enid.
This is where it hurts.
Yep, you're like, oh. And then
it
you
keeps
see
getting
Enid,
worse, right?
As Alden is looking for her as he's performing.
That was so sad. It's like they all were realizing something was wrong.
Yes, yeah. And then Father Gabe is looking for who I thought was Rosita.
You better stop.
Which they wanted us to think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we see Tara's head.
Tara.
And then we see...
And this, when I was watching the scene, I was like, is it Ezekiel or is it Henry? It's one of the two. And then they do it where Lydia finds Ezekiel.
Oh, right. Yes.
No. So you're like, it's Henry!
No. They kind of gave us the clue because that's when Lydia went up to Ezekiel and says, I can't find Henry, my
mom is
here.
That's exactly it. As soon as
and
I saw
his
face.
And I was like, okay, how much time has lapsed between you having that confrontation with your mom and you telling them?
Yeah.
Like, how did they have time to pick, but the other people were they were having that moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what I loved about this, and I didn't love it, obviously, but the acting, and you alluded to it before we even started the show, Angel. You said, you know, Carol's acting in this episode from going from this relieved state of being reunited with Michonne and the fair starting and this happy place to losing a child at the end of the episode. Talk about a character arc. Like, what? So right. Now we've got to deal with Carol and, like you guys said, losing essentially two children.
Yeah, and the parallels were so great to when she lost in season two. Daryl was the one that grabbed her when Sophia came out of the barn, and it was just, it was so heartbreaking.
Oh, guys, I'm going to tear up again because it's, poor Carol, you guys.
I know, short-haired Carol's
coming
back.
I was so confused as to why the heads' lips were moving, and I'm like, oh, right, they're the Walking Dead now.
Yeah.
They're zombies. Because I was like, what are the lips doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that
was crazy.
I thought that that's where the episode was going to end, but then we have Sadiq's monologue, and he just goes on to tell his story about what happened and how these people died fighting and how, and they take us back to it. And I love that they did that because it was kind of closure for us to see how they died. It wasn't just, hey, their heads are on a spike. No, it was, they got captured. They fought as hard as they could, but they lost. And I think that's what they really wanted from us. At least that's what Sadiq says, is that, you know, they want us to fear them. They want this to tear us apart, but this has to unite us. And I ultimately think that it will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has to. They died for it.
You can't just go your separate ways after this.
They died for it.
Yeah. And then I love the ending scene when Daryl and Lydia go to Henry's spear. And I'm surprised that Carol wasn't with them.
She's probably got some hurt feelings toward Lydia at the moment.
I'm sure. but then she places, and just once again, the episode comes full circle from the beginning to the end, this wooden H that the woman with the anniversary couple had made. And she places it on his grave, and that's how the episode ends. This was just
broke my heart.
Brilliantly performed, brilliantly written. I mean, this, like I said, was one of the best episodes of The Walking Dead, and I will stand by that.
It was great, yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited about the aftermath. I'm excited to see how they're going to deal with this as communities united and individually.
No, it was incredible.
I am so glad that they kind of spared us actually seeing them being slaughtered, because that would have been too much. It was already like Lucille and, you know, that whole Negan head brain crushing thing that we could have missed. Yeah. I mean, I could have lived my whole life without seeing that.
The same thing.
I was like, thank you so much for not doing that to us because our hearts, I mean, it's already bleeding.
You got to see the fight and you didn't have to see. We know what happens. Yeah. I don't need to see the decapitation.
Out of the 10 on there, we are, like I said, short on time, guys. Out of the 10 people up there, only like about four of those people were really connected to. Who was the hardest for you?
I don't know. Enid really got me. And Henry's... I think Henry hurts just because of who else it's going to hurt. Mm. But he's been bothering me so much these last couple episodes that I was like, you got what you deserved at this point. But no, that one hurt
me. Know.
He did it. He did it.
You just say this.
But I'm just like, that one, it's like, Henry, you brought us here. But no, that one hurts because of all the people. And they're all going to do it. Like, Eden was just, I think Enid, Tara, and Henry for sure.
Well, just take all of my kids.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who was... Yours.
I think it was Tara. Mm-hmm. I thought she would outlive most of them.
Right?
Because she's that boss.
Yeah.
Like, she's been the HBIC for a minute.
Yeah.
And so, it's bad enough we lost Jesus.
That's
what I'm like.
That's what I was going to say.
Why would you take Tara and what is going to happen now with that
their leader? Yeah.
It was Tara for me as well, just because of the Hilltop leadership. We lost Maggie, then we lost Jesus, and now we've lost Tara.
They are going through it.
So they're going through it. You guys, that is our review of season 9, episode 15, The Calm Before. Obviously, that only leads to The Storm, which is the next episode. I want to get into our favorite segment very quickly, which is our favorite kill segment of the episode. Who was your guys' very quickly, your favorite kill this episode?
It's just going to have to be the end. It's obviously, this wasn't my favorite, but it's the most powerful kill we've had in a long time. All the heads on the stick at the end, which thankfully we didn't see. But yeah, just that.
Yeah, Anjel.
Mine is the when Alpha killed one of her men for him seeing her cry.
Yeah. I think mine is going to have to be... I think Tara's death mostly affected me just because she's been around since the beginning, and I'm really going to miss her. Especially coming from where she came from, and I just have to say it very quickly, from the governor and then finding her. Like, there's... I don't want to talk about it because I'll start crying.
She lost her lover.
It's, like, insane, and I'm going to miss Tara immensely, and it's, like, very hard for me to talk about right now. I'm going to miss her a lot. We will save news and gossip for next episode, you guys, or I will have Krista tweet it out.
Yes.
There's a lot of episode news about how the characters felt about this ending of the episode. Predictions, we will tweet those out, guys. Let us know your predictions, you guys. I'm sorry, we're running very quickly out of time. Let the fans know where they can find you guys.
Hey guys, you can find me all over social media at Krista Plungy.
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram at AnjelTaylor_.
And I am Timothy Michael. You guys can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. The chat has been lit tonight, you guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, we love you.
We love you all. We will see you guys for the season finale next episode next week. See you guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.